might, would agree that sand isn't a sitting on rice, and then maybe consider sending by the coffee, or maybe not. I don't know. You're right. That from the fact that the beer halacha shulam tosis would agree it's a nisidari said by sand would indicate that there's a chashta rice also here by the coffee.
I'm not 100% sure in the Matthias. The coffee is less unified than sand.
That I certainly would be willing to say. Maybe not, but I don't think we can make that call. They're too close to... Okay, good. So, let's start today from Simen Shinchaf Aleph Sif Tes Vav. Shulchan Aruch says that if you have chardal that you needed on Erev Shabbos, so the next day you can add in some wine or the like, but uvavad shalo yitrof. So this halacha makes a lot of sense for the Rambam. Because we'll just say chardal is a lav bar gibulhu, so we're not dealing with an iser deraisa. We're dealing with an iser derabanan in the first place, and therefore this type of shinoi of non gibul is sufficient to be mounted an iser deraisa. But if you learn like Tosfos and others, so then we have a problem. Why? Because we're dealing with a potential iser deraisa. How could it be that this shinoi uvavad shel yitrof is enough to be matir what would otherwise be an iser deraisa? So, as you saw, the Bir Halacha is very, very bothered by this question. And he adds that even though you did it on Erev Shabbos, that's not good enough, because since you didn't yet mix in the water or whatever, the wine, so then it wouldn't be considered nilush, right? And this machlokas we discussed on the first day, whether something that's nilush with its own essence, with its own water, is considered nilush. As we said, the Bir Halacha assumes not that way. So how could it be that this is mutter? If we want to sort of break down this question, and it's really the same type of question as we've noted that the Bir Halacha asks consistently throughout the sugya, but if we want to break down this question, the Bir Halacha makes four assumptions, and therefore he has a question. Assumption number one, we don't paskin like the Rambam, so therefore there is a chiyuv even for something that's lav bar gibul. Assumption number two is it's inconceivable that we would be matir an iser deraisa with a shinui like this. In other words, we'll see in a moment, not like the Chazon Ish, right? Just like we saw before when we talked about ma'at ma'at, the Chazon Ish thought that this type of shinui could be matir deraisa, the Mishnah Berurah thought it couldn't. Assumption number three is you couldn't say that this is considered already nilush and this is just further dilution because it was only nilush with its own moisture, with its own liquid. In other words, not like the Prima Gadim. Same type of assumption also, I guess, sort of more on the other sugya, but related is that when we say ma'at ma'at, it just means lot. So those are the questions that the Bir Halacha has. So how do we answer the question? How do we answer this question? So the Bir Halacha basically says that actually, you know, this sugya has nothing to do with Lisha. Now, as we noted last time, the Gemara over here, Daf Kof Mem, doesn't say anything about Lisha. Doesn't mention Lisha. We're not talking about Lisha. Why aren't we talking about Lisha? Because there was already Lisha before Shabbos, not just with its own damsis, with actual wine or the like. So what do you want to do on Shabbos? What's the whole discussion? You want to dilute it a little bit. So why is it even a Shaila? Maybe it's Domel Lisha in some way. But we're not dealing with Lisha Derais at all, right? Velule de Mistafina Vyamina Kipshuto Demairi Shachar Dal Nilosh Mi Ba'od Yom. It's all fully made. And... it's all fully made, and therefore, there's certainly no deraisa lisha shaila. And he actually is mosif that you can be medayik this with in Rambam, because the Rambam anyway doesn't paskin nesugya in his discussion of lisha. Again, not that there's a chrech to say this anyway in the Rambam, but regardless, I guess it's even stronger. It's gratuitous, right? The Rambam. Does not paskin this in the context of Lisha, maybe because this has nothing to do with Lisha. So, at the same time, though, he sort of writes this Lule de Mistafina, right? And therefore, even though that's his theory in the Bir Halacha, in the Mishnah Berurah, he rules more in the conventional understanding. Now, the Chazon Ish addresses this issue as well. And I'm not exactly sure what he's saying, actually. He sort of says he hedges. First he writes, he thinks they're not. We're not talking about Lisha D'Oraisa in this sugya, only Midrabanan. And maybe even if you're Tarif B'Koach, it's only D'Rabanan. This, by the way, is the Chazon Ish Nunches Os Dalet. And then he writes, and maybe even if you'll tell me that if you're Tarif, it would be D'Oraisa, but when you do it slowly, when you're just Ma'arev, that's not Lush at all. In other words, we're not coming Al Shinoi. He doesn't say what he said before by Ma'at Ma'at, that this is a Shinoi that would be Mater Medeiraisa. He says this very interesting idea. And again, I'm not really sure what he means. But if you were to be Ma'arevit, if you were to be Tairevit, then it would be an Isser Deraisa of Lisha. But if you're Ma'arevit, it's not just a heter of Shinoi, but it's not Lisha at all. He writes, V'gara mei efer detivo l'sarif im hamayim, v'nasa ketit hanaruk, v'afal pishein lahem dibuk zebizaval heinim shachin betkifos al yidei hamayim, aval hayarek hanidok eino niruk ela echad echad, aval benitraf b'koach afilo duchashek felish min haTorah. Maybe what he's saying is that when you, I don't know if this is a perfect dimyon, but certain things, this is only a mashal because it's not what he means here, but eggs, like if you stir it slowly, so it just mixes, right? If you beat an egg, it gets all fluffy, certainly, an egg white, and it turns into like a new thing, or same thing with if you're making butter or the like. So we're talking about something over here where if you just mix it, so like we said, there's not that much integration, not dealing with an Isser D'Oraisa. If you're tired of it, so therefore it's not even a Shaila of Lisha, right? The heter of Eruv isn't that it's a Shinoi, it's just not Lisha because there's no integration. But when your Tarif, it somehow or another that transforms it, that integrates it, it makes something new, and therefore it's an Isser, it would be an Isser D'Oraisa. Okay, good. So that was sort of a little leftover from last time in terms of this question. I want to mention very quickly, but not actually get into it much because I really want to finish quickly. There's one more sugya in Be'a, Daf Lamed Beis and Beis, that deals with the issue of Lisha. We didn't talk about it as much, but again, I'll just mention it quickly because it's a place where you see the Rishonim discuss the issues. The Gemara over there says it's Aser Latuach Piatan or Be'afar, but Bekitmat Shari. In other words, I guess we'll talk about Lahatiach Piatan or soon when we get to ovens and Mishal and the like, but that's what the Gemara says. So, why is that? So Rashi says very simply that when you're dealing with Afer, right, water and ashes mixed together, and you mix them together, there's no chiyuv at all, so it's mutter. But if you were to mix a dirt with water, you make mud, mud's mamish lisha d'oraisa, people make houses out of mud, so therefore it's a problem. So the truth is actually that Rashi and Be'ah sounds really like the Rambam. Right? There's no Isser D'Oraisa for Afer. There's an Isser D'Oraisa by Afer. So, therefore, it's mutter to seal off your oven using a Afer water mixture, but it's Aser using an Afer water mixture. And that's great. But you'll see here, most of the Rishonim don't want to say this way. Just like they don't want to learn like the Rambam with respect to everything else we've been talking about till now, they also don't want to learn like Rashi. So, how else do you explain a Gemara? So they have to work hard. So the Rashba says, we're talking about Yantif. So why is this mutter? It's Elisha Shaila? It's mutter, it's also Nafesh. So then, why are we only Matir Afer? We should also be Matir Afar. right? Manafshach. If it's Malchut Nefesh, everything should be Mutter. So the Rashba gets into a whole discussion of Machshirei Ochol Nefesh, that the Kayadua, there's a Machlokas and a Gemara, Machlokas Tanayim, what's the din by Machshirei Ochol Nefesh? And then their further distinction, if Efshar La'asosu Mi'Odyom, or Yefshar La'asosu Mi'Odyom. And Al Kol Panim, the conclusion is Afer Umayim is Aser, because that you could do before Yantif. Mashayim Kein Efer Umayim, apparently, that you can't do before Yantif. Maybe it would separate or something like that. Like we said, anyway, it's not a very good mixture. So that's the difference between Afar and Afar. The Ran also says that we're dealing with Heter Ochol Nefesh and Yantif, but he says it a little differently, that there's a Knage there also. And take a look at the Rush. The Rush you probably did see, because it's quoted in Nabi Alach over here in Simon Shin Chaf Aleph. He says that we're talking over here about Afer that was already mixed together with water before Yantif. So why doesn't that heter apply for Afar? So the Bir Alacha says, again, this is Simon Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yud Dalet, Dima Maschel in Govlin, that the Rush explains that if you use Afar, so then you do additional gibul, and that's Aser. Now, it sounds like the Rush is saying that there's a problem of Lisha Achar Lisha. And that's, and here, we might distinguish between Afar and Afer, and moreover, we might distinguish between a case where the additional gibul is the Lisha Achar Lisha, the second Lisha is doing something substantial or dramatic that is not yet here and the like. So we've already referred to this discussion of Lisha Achar Lisha, and obviously this Rush and this Gemara Bay is relevant for that. Okay, so now let's turn to Lamaisa. How do we paskin? So we'll start with the Pesach of the Mechaber. The Mechaber writes, well, let's start with Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef writes that Ulinian Halacha Kevan Sharifa Raman Varash Maskimim Ladas Echa Sachinachtinan. Great. So clearly, we're not Choshesh for the opinion of Rabbi. We definitively paskin like Rabbi Zerbihuda. Great. Now, and the Bir Halacha and Shin Chav Dalet adds it's not just those big three, but it's also the opinion of the Rach, Raza, Ramban, and Ran, and Rokeach, and Or Zerua, and Rabbeinu Rucham, and Meiri. All of them paskin like Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So, you know, like 10 Rishonim. Great. So that's the easy part. What about the other question? Namely, how does he paskin vis-a-vis the question, the machlokas of Tosfos versus the Rambam? For now, I'm putting together, let's say, Tosfos and the Ravid. It's not obvious that the Ravid learned like Tosfos. That's one way to learn the Ravid. For now, we won't address that point. But basically, the question that we want to know is, okay, now that we know that we pass on the Rabbi Yehuda, the question is, do you have to be concerned with the possibility of Lisha for things that are Lav Bar Gibul? That's one question. Is it Deraisa Shaila, Derabanan Shaila? And then, furthermore, do you have to be concerned with Shas Nesina Samayim or not? So how do we know about that? So in this case, the Rush holds like Tosfos, and the Bir Halacha Shin Chav Dalet Aleph says this is also the view of the Ran and the Rash Ben Beya, as we just mentioned. In other words, you see that to some degree they take for granted Tosfos' Shita. Shita's Arif isn't at all clear, though it does sound more like the Rash Rambam. The Magid Mishnah on that Rambam, after sort of explaining the Rambam, defending the Rambam from the Ravid's question, said, yeah, but the Achronim hold like the Ravid. Yeah.
Isn't there a call that the Rambam is not so clear we assume he's like the Rif?
Okay, the Rif's not so clear. You're saying you want to go in the other direction. Yeah. You want to say, probably. So that's somewhat true. Meaning to say that it's probably the case that the Rambam learned the Rif like his position.
Right.
But, especially when you have the, you know, if you're the Mechaber, and you're trying to figure out the big three and how to pass again, is that going to like be enough? And especially when there are many, many Rishonim on the other camp. Right. And so it's hard to hard to know how the Pascha. Now maybe I'll say that, well, like my nafkamina. In other words, even according to the Ravid, there's a chi of deraisa, let's say, by Morsan. The Rambam though still holds it's an issur derabanan, and both of them are matir with a shinui. So l'may nafkamina, whether it's deraisa derabanan, l'maisa it's aser. Okay, you know, Ivana Meher, Ivana Beis HaMikdash, we'll need to find out whether you're Chai V'Chatas or not. But you don't have to be Machria regardless. But the truth is that there are Nafkaminas. First of all, one question is still with respect to the other question, do you Choshish for Tosfos and Abaye? Do you have to worry about Nesinas Mayim for something that's Lav Bar Gibul? Right, according to Tosfos there, there's an Isser Deraisa. According to the Rambam, there's no Isser at all. So that's a question you'd need to solve. There's also going to be a nafkamina, presumably, let's say with respect to something that is a Bar Gibul, could you give it to your animals? In other words, could you go ahead and let's say your animals don't like Morsan, they're like upper class animals. So could you give them some kemach mixed with water? So according to the Rishonim, who say Morsan is shayach to the parsha of Isser Deraisa, right? It's just that, and the shinoi works to be matir what would otherwise be an Isser Deraisa, which is, like we saw, the view of many Rishonim, the Pasha Pshat. So then, just like we're matir Morsan for your behema, presumably we'd be matir kamach for your behema. Whereas if you learn like the Rambam, presumably you wouldn't. Because for the Rambam, presumably, we're only matir what anyway would only be an Isser Dirabanan for your behema, right? We're matir, according to the Rambam, we're matir an Isser Dirabanan b'shinoi. According to those other Rishonim, we're matir an Isser Deraisa with a shinoi, at least when it's for your animals, for animal food. So let's say you want to feed your animals something that is a bar gibul. According to Rambam, it would be aser. According to those other Rishonim, it would be mutter with a shinoi. That could be another nafkamina. So the Bir Halacha makes mentions that nafkamina basically in it's Shin Chav Dalet and Aleph. So it's not so clear actually how the Mechaber paskins on this, but it is Pashut, like we said, that the Mishnah Berurah himself is Machmir on this, at least Misafek. And like we noted throughout these two simanim, he works very hard to try to figure out all the cases where we're matir with the shinoi, such that the shinoyim aren't matir anything deraisa. Yes. So, in a sense, you know, the Mishnah Berurah is playing it very safe on both ends. On the one hand, he's not makel like the Rambam. On the other hand, he's also not makel like, at least to the extent possible, doesn't want to be makel like the Rishonim that seem to be matir. Like this. Except for animal food, we're not going to be matir nisr deraisa b'shinoi. Yes?
Yeshua is saying this, but Rashi and the Rev in Beitza say that the Efer is eino bar gibul. So
yeah, that's just like the Rambam.
Exactly. So the Rev, the Yiran totally changes that. He holds that it's all a shailam binyan.
Yontif. Right,
It's all binyan shayach because it's
Diman and Beitza.
Yeah, because it's not shayach to say.
Right, but he also says anyway, it's an ochel nefesh shayla. No,
no, he
doesn't.
He doesn't mention it being an ochel or whatever. He's under the assumption that lush is irrelevant, obviously, because he's thinking that it's yantiv. And therefore, you have no raya from the Rashi and the Rif, according to the Ran. So it's not so pasha where Yeshua is saying that the Rambam's not so clear, let's hold like the Rif, because the Ran clearly doesn't learn the Rif.
You're saying it's a machlokas Rambam, not what he maybe.
And he
okay.
Says that as well, because the Rif says the same thing verbatim that Rashi says, that Ether is Eino Bar Gibel.
Kenzine.
So no Raya or anything.
I don't know, it's no Raya, but...
Ron's pretty good.
Good, yeah.
I'm sorry, how do we know that Mishnah Berurah says that you can't be matir in the rice of Mishina?
No. For animal food, he has to be matir, right? For other things. In other words, to all... not every Shinui. What seemed to be the weaker Shinuyim, like Ma'at or Irov, not Irov, non-Tiruf, yeah, Irov, I guess. He tries to, in both of those cases, he tries to make them non-Deraisas. Okay. The Pesach of the Ramah is also interesting, and maybe we're not going to get into it so much, but if you read the Darkei Moshe and his Havana, the Trumas Hadesh and the like, it's actually very interesting, and he has an interesting shot. But let's turn a little more lemaisa to the Mishnah Berurah. How does the Mishnah Berurah paskin in all this? So let's take a look. We'll read it together. Mishnah Berurah, Simen Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Katan, Samech Ches. So, first of all, as we've already mentioned before, the Ramah at least recommends trying to follow the opinion of the Sefer Tumah to be choshesh for Shitas Rabbi. Val Kain says Mishnah Berurah Shachach Lishbal Chaimetz Be'er Shabbos L'Techa Krein Tzarech Shiaseh B'Shabbos Bli L'Raka V'Nosin Chaimetz V'Achar Kach Hachrein. Okay, you're making horseradish, I guess. So, you see, by the way, again, I don't know how small your chrein is, but going back to the question, actually, I guess we'll discuss, we've alluded to this question, we'll discuss it more in a moment, how the degree to wit of integration that's necessary for there to be a chashash lisha. Again, it's hard to know for sure, because I don't know what his chrein looked like, but, you know, it's hard to imagine it was that small. Remember, they're using hand grinders for chrein or the like. They weren't even using blenders.
Your grandfather didn't do
that? My grandmother did do homemade chrein, at least for Pesach. She did not use a food processor. Well, those were pretty big, but I can't say. Maybe that was Pesach, to, you know, so you have the tamariras. So I don't know what about Shabbos. Anyway, so you have a concern here. He's worried about Lisha and even Lisha Deraisa when you mix the vinegar with your horseradish. So what should you do? So as we said before, the only way to be Matir L'Chatchila is to solve the problem on both stages. First of all, in stage one, you have to turn it into a Belila Raka and then switch the Seder. So that's easy. So you put in the vinegar, then you put in the chrein. Good. The Yolchaz, and then how do you mix it? V'yolchaz B'Kli'a. Atmo, bina nanu, oso. Okay, we'll talk about that shino in a moment. I don't know why he picks that one. I assume he would agree he could also do shasi ve'erev or something else. Uviyerek. So here's where the Mishnah gets very interesting. Hanikra salatin. Oh, no, not almost interesting. Salatin is not as interesting. Eilu daktik b'chol zekeven shu she'en chotchen oso dak. Good. So salatin is like lettuce, I think. So here we have the Mishnah Berurah making the point that we also have been saying throughout, which is that everybody's going to agree that if the pieces are big enough, there's no shiloh of lisha, right? Let's say, I don't know, coleslaw is an example, right? So you're making coleslaw and you mix together the cut cabbage with mayonnaise dressing or the like. Nobody's going to say that's lisha, they're too big. Good. Again, where you draw the line? In a practical sense, we'll get to in a couple minutes. But here's where the Mishnah Berurah gets interesting. Aval ma shechotchen tznon v'kishuin shekorin ugerkes dak. So what are ugerkes? Ugerkes are pickles, I think. And tznon are radishes. So I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but I imagine that he's talking about what we would call relish, right? Relish are pickles, more or less, chopped up pretty small, that are mixed together. So apparently, this was a staple on Shabbos. Relish, you can't manage without relish, as we're about to see. Good, so you want to have your relish. So the problem is that v'shovchen chometz o'shar davar lach l'tochan, so you have your diced pickles, Okay, we won't talk about how you diced your pickles. Somehow you did. Maybe
maybe
you did it before Shabbos. Yeah, no, absolutely. But somehow or another, you have your small, finely ground pickles, and you want to put together that with the vinegar. Don't do it bekaf bekoach, right? This is the same, you know, what we say about the chardel, for example. Oh, inanenu bekli atmo. So don't do it bekaf bekoach, but so do it gently, be ma'arev, or mix it in the kli, do a shinoi.
It sounds like you're saying you can't do that.
Shalol arev bekaf bekoach. Can't do it kaf bekoach.
Oh, you know, bekli atzmo.
Oh, you know, nenu bekli atzmo.
I mean, you can't do either one.
Oh. You're saying what? You need to use your finger. Oh, let's see in a moment. We'll clarify in the bir halacha. B'tov lahachmir gam kain liten chometz achar kach machil. And moreover, it's better to reverse the order. So let's try to understand this a little better. Before I looked at the Bir Halacha, knowing what I know from the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah and the Ramah, I would think we must be talking about a Blila Raka. Because if we're talking about a Blila Ava, then there's no way you could initially mix in the vinegar, right? Good. That's what I would think. And he's saying, so you have to do the mixing with the shinui. Fine. But then you look at the Shartzion, Os Pei Dalet, and he says, a huge kula. V'aftahu ava, even though this relish is ava, uh-oh. V'ava machmer yesh omrim mipnei nesina samashka. The yesh omrim, which the Ramah says you should follow, is machmir for Ava, right? Like we said, for the Sefer Truma, for Rebbe's opinion, there's nothing you could do about Ava unless you did it beforehand. Kasavataz debitznon. Mevneshi efshar lasos me'arv Shabbos. Everybody knows that radish relish, if you make it on Arv Shabbos, is not so good. Samchina nadeaka maisa. So we'll rely on the first opinion, namely everybody besides the Sefer Truma. The Sfir lu d'lormina netzina samashka zeu gibulo. So, this is very interesting. Basically, he said, even though the Ramah told us, and we accept that you should really follow the opinion of the Sefer Truma, but Yefshe Ben Yinacher, you could be Meiko. And what type of Yefshe Ben Yinacher are we talking about? Ugarkis, relish, radish relish, right? So, you know, we'll see in the next Melacha, Bnei Yisrael are adukim b'hilchos Shabbos, the oinig Shabbos. The Rush says we love our oinig Shabbos. So, what? Yeah. But now the Rush says that in the context of fasting, like Hananiah, in terms of Shehiyah, right? Bnei Yisrael are adukim b'hilchos Shabbos, and they won't listen to us anyway if we tell them that you should follow the opinion of the Chachamim. So we'll just follow Rabbi. Anyway, that's what the Rush says. We'll talk more about that a little later. But that's sort of what the Mishnah Berurah is saying over here. In other words, obviously, this is not like that much of a Shas Adchak, which means working backwards, that really the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he's saying, really, we're not choshish for Rebbe and the Sefer Atum and the like. Really, Mikra Din, we follow the opinion of the vast majority of Rishonim who follow Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. Again, we know the Mishnah Berurah thinks you have to be choshish for Tosis's version, the most machmir version of Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, but to be choshish Sefer Truma, so you should be machmir when you can't be machmir. But if you have to be nacher, and if there's a food that you want to eat on Shabbos, and there's no other way to prepare it except by mixing together the liquid and the solid on Shabbos, then a person could be meiko. Good? That seems to be what he's saying. But then, what's very interesting, if we go back to the Mishnah Berurah, read that line that we said before, is he said, so again, he's talking about a blila ava, right? And he's saying the reason why this is mutter is because we pass on like who? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So go back to Mishnah Berurah. He says about this, V'tov l'hachmir gamkein she'itein achol mitzvachar kachamaychol. You should still switch the order. So I don't understand. If we're talking about the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and Blil Ava, then what does that help? Right? In other words, we know the only place that the Gemara had this idea of changing the order was within the opinion of Rebbe and stage one in a Blilava, Blilaraka. So what does he mean? What does he mean? So I think that Rabbi Sobolovsky suggested that he means like this, that let's stop for a moment. Why is it that changing order is obviously a shinoi, right? If it's not a shinoi, then why does it even help for Raka? So if it, what?
You want to
close
it a shinoi.
Right, it is a shinoi. So, right, it's definitely a shinoi. So then why is it that, you know, it works for Raka, not Ava, if it's a shinoi? So the answer is that changing the order is not a zero. It's a shinoi. But Rabbi didn't permit a shinoi to be matir and deoraisa. But it still brings it from a deoraisa to a drabanan. In other words, let's say, according to Rabbi, there was a blila ava, and he switched the order. Would he be chai v'chatas? No, because it's a shinoi. Still aser, midrabanan, it's because usually we only... Rabbi is saying we're matir nisid rabbanan b'shinoi, we're not going to be matir nisid deoraisa, but it's not worthless. So let's do what we can. In other words, we have to make our ogre kiss. Great. So we are going to have to rely on Lemaisa, to some degree, the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. But the truth is, if we go ahead and we switch the order, then even Al Hatzad, that the Sefer Tum is right, and we paskin like Rabbi, but we're not going to be doing an Issa Deraisa, at least we'll be doing an Issa Derabanan, right? So, and once it's only an Issa Derabanan, we'll be Somechan Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So that's what it makes to make a shinoi. In other words, it's true. This is not a shinoi that appears in like the Gemara or Rishonim, but rather it's hedging. And again, he doesn't say you have to. He says you should. He recommends it. That's why, again, why he says this idea of you should, right? You know, for dealing with strict shitos in Gemara Rishonim, there's no such thing as you should switch the order. Either you have to switch the order or there's no point in switching. There's no need to switch the order. But what the Mishabur is doing is he's saying, let's like do the best we can to lower the stakes to the extent possible. So therefore, why not? Great idea. You could go ahead and switch the order. And then probably at the very least your worst case scenario, you're dealing with this Issa Derabanan. And then since anyway, you know, there's no way to make this ogre kiss to mix in the liquid with the salad before Shabbos, so that's what you should do. Good. Now let's go back to the basic point that the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah over here, Bialacha, seems to be saying that we only make a redin. Who do we follow? Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So, as I mentioned before, much more important for us than making ogurkis salad is making baby cereal. Because baby cereal for many little children is like their central food, used to be that you could make rice cereal, but now everybody knows rice is arsenic. So, okay, you make oatmeal. Oh, now, they no longer recommend rice cereal.
Your wife knows
about it. So, we all know that Aaron is the mainstay of the kitchen. So you want to make, let's say, this infant oatmeal. Infant oatmeal, so as I said, you know, what do you feed certain kids? They're not yet ready to eat solid foods. You know, you can give them those cans of applesauce and green beans, but like those are very unfilling. So a very important part of their diet is baby oatmeal. Baby oatmeal is made by mixing together water and this baby oatmeal. And then you mix it together, and then it makes like a blue lava. So when we first baby was born, I asked Rabbi Willig, you know, what should we do? And he said, you have to make a blila raka and do a bishinoi, right? Very straightforward. You put in the water first, then the baby cereal, then you mix it shesi beirev, and that's how you do it. So I tried it this way, and it's very, very hard to get the baby to eat this blila raka stuff.
Pour off the water.
What?
Pour off the water.
No, it's mixed. It's integrated. It's like, so, you know, it could be that that I was being too machmir in terms of raka. I probably could have made it a little thicker and still be raka, but it's very hard to get the right amount, especially because you can't measure anything, and you're pouring in water first. So, like, you really, it's hard to be precise. Now, usually during the week, you put in the cereal first, and then you sort of gauge by the cereal how much water. When you make it the reverse way, it's very hard to gauge. And so, like, three quarters of the time with the raka anyway, because you have these little tiny spoons that was falling onto the bib. And then even if she ate it, she, like, spit it out because it was raka. So I went back to Ayuelik and I said, Rebbe, the Mishnah Berurah says, for ogre kiss, you could be mako like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So this is Logar from ogre kiss, right? This is my oldest daughter, Leah. She's now in ninth grade. I said, like, this is the mainstay of her diet. So, and if you make it in advance, like the Friday night Suda, so you can make it in advance. Like, you know, you can make it before Shabbos, and it's still, like, decent, like an hour or two later. But if you try to make, you know, Shal Shudas on Erev Shabbos, it's gross. It looks gross. It doesn't taste very, and then it always tastes gross. I don't know how the babies eat it in the first place, but that's like, they find it especially gross. So I said, Revi, you know, the Mishnah Berurah is matir. Right? This is Logar from Ogre Kiss. So he said, nope, it's a Shaila and a Deraisa. So, at the time I wasn't holding so much in Lisha. I accepted what the Pesach of my Rabbi was, and I wasn't sure why he was being so machmir, the Mishnah Berurah's Mako, but Azay. So I went on to be machmir. So then, learned a little more this time, and maybe the pshat is like this. So now let's go back to our ogre kiss shiloh. There's a big question on the ogre kiss, the Mishnah Berurah's kula by the ogre kiss, which we actually didn't raise, which is very simple. I understand why we can do away with the opinion of the Sefer Truma. That's like, you're right, the miuta, the Rishonim, like you mentioned, it's like 10 to 1. Fine. Good. Easy. But what about Taisus and Arivin and the like? You know, the Mishnah Berurah was very concerned with Rov Rishonim. So what? So is ogre kiss a bargible or a lot bargible? So, as you probably might have figured out so far, it's really hard to know anything in this segment about that. But if you were asking me to guess, I would guess that it's a lot bargible, right? In other words, relish, still not sure what ogre kiss is, but relish or beets, right? Beets are not like water soluble, like flour. In other words, they don't turn into dough. So you might grind your beets very small, fine. But it's very hard for me to imagine. It's not, put it this way. Is it obvious that it's a bargible? No. It's not at all obvious it's a bargible. So if it might be a lot bargible, then the Sinas Maim is a deraisa shaila, according to the Mishnah Berurah's Chayish for Taisus. In which case, what? If we're dealing with a deraisa shaila, how could he be matir? And you'll say, but you switched the order. First of all, he says tov, right? Tov to switch the order. How is he matir? In other words, I understand how the Mishnah Berurah dealt with the issue of the Sefer Truma, but there's a much bigger question that he didn't even raise. So how are you going to explain this? So Elamai, you have to say something else. And this is an idea that many of the poskim say in various different contexts, especially in the context of their discussions of making egg salad, our favorite topic. And that is as follows. That is, maybe, actually, the Mishnah Berurah isn't so convinced that this Shaiach Lisha Deraisa at all by Ogre Kiss. Why? Because it's not integrated. Because the pieces are distinct and discreet. What?
Even Tosis would agree?
Even Tosis would agree, yeah. Because they're distinct and they're discreet and the like. Now, it's speculative, and he doesn't say this. But on the other hand, I know for sure that the Mishnah Berurah is Chosesh for Taisvis. I don't know how else he could be matir this. And as I said, this is an idea that many of the poskim cite. What are some examples? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says this possibility. It's quoted, by the way, in Dirshu footnote 112, I think, to be miyashev, the minhag of making the tzibla, the egg salad on Shabbos, that even though this egg salad seems to be like a blila afa, but really it's not fully integrated. Even though, again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't accept that because, as we've noted, he is concerned about this issue of making the egg salad on Shabbos. But maybe even he would agree it's not a deraisa lisha. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says that to about Sibila, and the Buchacher also says that. I'll read you about what the Buchacher says about the egg salad. Ulai Masha, if you want to see it, it's over here in the Madura Tanyana. Ulai Masha she hanahul glitain bibitzalim chatuchos dako shemen o shumen humitam shemikol makom ein derech lisha begivol b'chatichos k'shehem me'ein k'she'enan me'ein kamach dak v'ulay al yidei chatichos k'hem kill im nimtze b'neim dakos me'ein kamach o'vurim, but the same thing. So again, the Mishnah Berurah himself doesn't fully endorse this to be matir, but maybe, and I agree this is a speculative, and I think the Orchel Shabbos says something along these lines as well. At least I saw it quoted in the Dirshu note 115, that maybe the Mishnah Berurah is only makil over here because of that additional factor, which is that since it doesn't turn into a dough and there's not full integration, there's no lisha de oraisa, even if you don't go as far as the Rambam. And that being the case, he's willing to be makil. Now, if that's true, so now let's go back to the shaila of baby cereal. So that's going to be a kula for baby cereal, because I think baby cereal is fully integrated. Now, this baby cereal certainly is a bar gibol, in which case it's going to be even more, in which case it should be more kal than the ugurkis. So this is what I thought maybe the Mishnah, this is what I thought Rabbi Willig was thinking, and I asked him and he said, yeah, that's what I was thinking. So that really he thought, it's not so clear to rely on the Mishnah Berurah from ugurkis, because maybe the Mishnah Berurah for ugurkis was only being makel because he didn't think it's really shayach to the parsha of Lisa Derais at all, because they're integrated. They're non-integrated. They're discrete. And if that's true, if that's really the Pshat Mishnah Berurah, like we speculated, so then it's not absolutely clear to extrapolate from the kula of the Mishnah Berurah by ugurkis to be makel for the baby cereal, because baby cereal, for sure, there's a shayla of lisha de oraisa. So on the one hand, you could make a chal v'chomer lahatir from ugurkis. If he's willing to be makel for ugurkis, chal v'chomer, he'd be makel for baby cereal, because baby cereal for sure is a bar gibul, and therefore there's definitely no concern, de oraisa concern, at the stage one. But on the other hand, you could also say, no, maybe the kula of ugurkis, and this is what Rabbi Willig's misupin, he wasn't sure, but there's a tzad to say, that maybe ugurkis is more kal because it's not really leash in the first place. At least that's a sniff, a tzad, a suffix. But for something that for sure would be a shayla of leisha de raisa, like baby cereal, then maybe we do have to be concerned with the sefer atruma. And that's where Willig told me some 14 years ago, 15 years ago, that it's a deraisa shayla, and you have to be machmir. So I asked him about it this time, and he said the same thing more or less. I said, look, you know, someone wants to be makel for the baby cereal. It's not like a crazy kula. It's not, you know, it sounded like he was, since we're dealing with a possible deraisa, he was hesitant and about being mako. So what comes out then, Lamaisa, is that, again, Pashup Shad is the Mishnah Berurah is willing to forgo the opinion of Rebbe when there's no other good option. And therefore, even when we're dealing with the Blil Ava, as long as you have a Shinoi Bishas Gibul that's good enough, and Liaser says you should also do a Shinoi Bishas Nesina Samayim. According to the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah, then if you wanted to make baby cereal for your baby on Shabbos. Ideally, the way you should do it is with a blila raka and switch the order. So the ideal way to make baby cereal on Shabbos is to switch the order and at stage one do a blila raka and then again do shesi ve'erev or some type of shinui in stage two. Pashtus according to Mishnah Brura, though there is also makom to be mekel if you can't do it, to do it in a blula ava, but Rabbi Willig is machmir. Maisa, since because Rabbi Willig's psak, we just don't make baby cereal on Shabbos, because the more or less, sometimes we still try the raka business, but it doesn't work so well. Okay, yes.
Would Rabbi Willig be mekel while he's a Ina Yehudi?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, I can't speak for him, but I certainly think that once you add another level of kula, then that makes a lot of sense.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Shouldn't Oga Kiss not really be a rye for the baby cereal anyway because it's royal achila?
Ah, so that's another excellent sad for baby cereal, and I want to look into the Matzias because I don't know one way or the other. How do they make? I tried to do some internet research on this, and didn't succeed, but it should be very verifiable, which is that if it turns out that, and I suspect this might be true, that this baby cereal is already cooked, meaning to say that the way they make the baby cereal, sort of like, it's sort of like the instant coffee, the freezer ground coffee, which is basically, they make oatmeal, and then they dry it out or the like. And that's why you just add water and it makes the new oatmeal. Right? You don't need hot water to make baby cereal on Shabbos. You put in cold water. In other words, it's not just like very thinly ground. Instant oatmeal that's raw is just thinly ground oats. But the baby cereal doesn't look like it's thinly ground oats. So if it turns out that, let's say, the baby cereal is cooked oatmeal that's then dehydrated or something like that, and that's why when you add water, it just is reconstituted. So then there's another very good sad to be makel based off of the Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah says that when you have something that's already cooked or baked, right, like you said, by the toasted wheat, the klaios, so then there's no shiloh v'lisha deraisa. So I would like to find out the Matzias there on that. But if that's correct, then I think that's for sure a very strong tzad to be
made. Even if that were to be the case, no one eats it that way.
I don't know if anybody eats rakali either.
Well, Rashi says that it's sweet.
Is sweet, but I still don't know if you eat. I mean, you eat parched grain when it's whole, but not when it's turned into flour. That's whole. That's like Honey Smacks. But that's not what we're talking about here. Here it was then ground up into flour. So I don't know for sure. As we talked about before, when we saw that bialacha, there is some ambiguity exactly what the nature of the kula is. Is it primarily because it's relachila? Is it primarily because it's already done already? It's baked already, and leish is meant to be hachana for bishul, not a post bishul thing. I think that if it is the case, I'm sure that Gable will find out the solution to this very shortly if he hasn't already. So if it is the case that this baby cereal is pre-cooked, then I think that's another strong tzad to be mekel. On the other hand, I think the contemporary poskim, contemporary sfarim don't bring down this. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Yeah.
If Remy is suggesting that the kula by Ubikis is because it's just too distinct, right?
But yes.
Wouldn't that also be a kula? It would also make a normal issue for Sefer Chumah as well, right? Isn't it strange then that Mishnah Berurah mentions
I think the Mishnah Berurah maybe thought that it's the Rabbanan, but not the Oraisa.
If it's too distinct to make it even.
It's too distinct for it to be Elisha Medaraisa.
Right, that meaning that would be a Hatem Sefer Chumah also, right?
Yeah.
Why did he mention Sefer Chumah?
Because he's not sure. I don't think.
Isn't it strange that he mentioned? If it's not a. If it's
I agree. A, what I'm saying is dochak and strange. You, I.
If this is true, then
I fully agree with you. I just. We told Chomer Akushia, I'm suggesting the possibility for two reasons. Number one is, intuitively, that makes sense to me. Meaning to say, again, I don't know exactly what the ogre kiss that he's talking about looked like. But any type of ogre kiss that I can imagine does seem to me like it's not obvious that that should be a bargy bowl. And moreover, I also know that the Mishnah Berurah Shita is ischoshish for taisus for sure. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm suggesting there's daichak answer. But is it daichak? Yes, because if this were true, the Mishnah Berurah should say so. And he didn't. He didn't. He davka, you know, told you a cheshbon that seems to ignore that. But at the same time, he really didn't tell you so much of a cheshbon anyway. So I don't know. Again, and moreover, as I mentioned, those achronim that I quoted use this as a kula for egg salad, and the Mishnah Berurah himself is concerned about egg salad. So obviously, he wasn't, like, so into this. So if you have a better answer to this question, I'd love to hear it, because I agree, this is a bad answer. Okay, let's... Yes?
Couldn't you also then be Mekalei Grama at least?
You're going to make a grumman machine for oatmeal making? Rube Goldberg
fashion? Pour the water onto something else and let it flow down into the wall.
Okay. I hear. Vidka Dvaya. Maybe you should put a, like a blocker and pour the water and then lift up the blocker and then, good. Good. Go for it. Okay. Fine. So, let's talk about some of the Shinuyim Lemaisa. So I've already talked about, just summarizing mostly what we've said thus far, in terms of the Shinuy B'Shas and Zizamayim, we have the Machlokas Taz and Trumas Adeshen. In terms of Shinuyim B'Shas Lisha, so what are the different options? So the first option, or not the Gemara's first option, but one option is Shesi Ve'erev. So what does Shesi Ve'erev mean? So if you look at Rashi, and this is a Pesach of the Torah as well, it sounds like it's only mutter to do Pamachas Shesi and Pamachas Erev, which won't get you very far for many things. However, the Rambam doesn't sound that way. And if you look at the Bir Halacha, Shin Chav Dalet, Siv Gimel, the Beis Yosef is Machriya, like the Rambam, that it's Mutter, even many times. And this is the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah. So we could be Meikil, follow the Rambam's opinion. However, the Chazon Ish, Osvav, says, well, yeah, you could follow the Rambam, but maybe you have to pick up the spoon in between each Shesi Ve'erev. Why? Because otherwise, you're going to basically be doing a regular mixing. Now, that makes it obviously a lot more tedious, like...
That's why it's okay. From clea to
clea. But, so we'll get to that in a moment. Rav Moshe in Chelek Dalet, Ayin Dalet, Lash Os Yud, and this is also quoted by the Dirshu in Shin Chav Dalet number 10, seems to disagree. And he says, well, the Chazon Ish really made up his own Gzeira. And his Gzeira was, you're going to do a Sivuv. So if you're careful not to do a Sivuv, it's going to be Mutter. And that should be okay. That sounds like the Mishnah Berurah as well. So, therefore, as long as you're careful to do, you know, that your Shesi Ve'erev doesn't turn into a circular mixing motion, that's okay. That's the view of Rav Moshe. And the truth is, maybe even the Chazon Ish agreed, the Shevet Alevi Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Vav Sifkat Vav says maybe even the Mishnah Berurah, even the Chazon Ish would say that if after the Shesi you return the spoon to the center of the bowl, to make sure that it's Shesi Ve'erev and not any type of circular motion is going to be Mutter. So I think you could be Mako on the Shaila. Just be very careful to do Shesi Ve'erev. And I think for a lot of things, this will work. I have made baby cereal this way. And, you know, you could do it. Maybe there'll be some clumps left in it or whatever, but more or less, you know, it takes a little longer. You know, might not be as perfect, but more or less, it works for many things. The Gemara says that if that doesn't work, the Gemara in Kufnun and Vav says, well, then you could be Minar Mikli El Kli, as Aaron keeps on suggesting.
But it doesn't work?
Oh, no, if it doesn't work, but I'm saying, if another Eitzah, if usually this is, Shezir Erev is easier than this. Nir Mikli El Kli is a good recipe to make a big mess, and it doesn't always work either. Often doesn't work, but yes, that's another option. Aaron, you had a question first.
I think the Shevet Olivi is 100% correct about the Chazanish, because the Chazanish Efsher that you need to pick it up. So it sounds like he's just concerned about the circular motion. It could be that's a good suggestion. So it's Mefurish in the Chazanish.
Okay, not just A.
Does it matter like how big your spoon is, slash how big the clay is? Like, if you have a very big clay and you go Shesi Erev, it's not going to do anything. But like, if I have a tiny clay, and like, it depends how big my spoon is also.
I think it's still Shino no matter what. Nobody ever does.
So I can choose like a huge spoon and a tiny clay, and like, that's fine.
That's even more Shino. That's like really weird.
But then no,
your spoon's as big as your bowl.
That's
not going to. I don't think. I don't. I think that it will. It's still a very awkward and somewhat ineffective way to mix things. And though it will eventually get the job done, I would imagine that still constitutes a shinoi. In other words, the Vaisa, the Gemara, the Rishon, and the Poskim don't put the limitation that you're suggesting. So I don't think we have to be choshes that that's true. And I think practically it's still going to be awkward and again, somewhat less effective. Okay. What about Al-Yad? So we discussed this at length last time. This is much more controversial. Again, the Chayadim and the Mishnah Berurah basically say Al-Yad can never be Matir Nisa Deraisa. The Chazanish says that it can, but only in a very limited circumstance, namely, if, let's say, the following Ramban, if normally you do a very large amount. So it's rare that that's going to help you that much. We have the Heter of Ma'ari Velo Toreif. That too, everybody, or not everybody, but many chip away at, right? Like the Bi'ur Halacha says that this heter, Ma'ariv Lo Toreif, is only going to work when we're talking about Lisha that was done before Shabbos, so there's no Deraisa Shaila of Lisha. Though, again, steam of the Shulchan Aruch doesn't sound that way, as the Bi'ur Halacha himself notes. Then, once we're on that topic, there's also the question of the correct girsa here. Namely, I think there's three girsos. There's Kaf, and there's Koach, and the Gra says that the correct Girsa is Koach. What? Kaf. And there's another one, no?
Isn't Kach?
Kach. The Ramah writes that you should use your finger. Again, we talked about, and maybe that's also if you have kaf in the Mishnah Berurah, in Shulchan Aruch, that might be the Mechaber's view as well. We talked about that Ramah as well, the Chazon Ish, the Magen Avraham's difficult understanding of that. And already last time, we discussed the question of whether you could extrapolate from one to the other or not. So that's that. Now, the question, though, another question that we keep on coming back to, which is, again, how small does something have to be for there to be a Shiloh of Lisha? Like we said before, I think everybody's going to agree that, I don't know, Cheerios and milk is not going to be Shiloh of Lisha, right? The Cheerios are too big. Nobody thinks that you could put your Cheerios in before the milk, you could put in the milk before the Cheerios. No problem. So when is there an issue? At the same time, clearly, the Mishnah Berurah, at the very least, let's say in that one we were reading, Sifkan Samach Zayin, you know, there is this concern with these basically vegetables like a radish or something like that that's ground up very, very small, that there is a Shai Levlisha, right? Dak Dak. So again, what exactly does Dak Dak mean? When is that a problem? In Dirshu Note 110, quotes from Nissen Karelitz, that it means that if it reaches a point that after the Erov, the Chatichos are not Nikaros Bifnei Atzmo, that's when it's a Shaila of Lisha. Again, even that's a little hard to define because Nikar, like when you look at it from 2 inches away or things, so you imagine like this. If you look at it, you know, for normal distance and without careful examination and the like, you just look down and you see this, like relish or something like that, where it looks like a green blob, right? Now, it's true, if you look very carefully at your relish or the like, you'll see that maybe there are still small pieces that are held together by your vinegar or whatever. But if it looks like an integrated mass, even though you know it's not an integrated mass, then it's usser, and yes, we choshesh for lisha. So that's why we saw it. The Mishnah Berurah says by salatin, it's okay. So like we said, maybe coleslaw, something like that, Israeli salad, all those types of things would be okay. We saw that the Mishnah Berurah thought, though, that chrein is a problem. I saw in footnote 112 of the Deer Shoe that Rav Nissim Karelitz, even though, again, we just saw that he seemed to have a relatively lenient perspective, is machmir for salat gezer ha'asuyot mechatichot ktanot umitz limon. So I don't know what type of carrot salad he's talking about. Any carrot salad I've ever seen is big. I would imagine that he might be talking about like a very, very, like you put carrots into a food processor and they're very, very small, you know, something more like the chrein type thing. And that's when he's doing it. But the type of carrot salad that I've seen people make, I don't think would be a shaila. Now, an interesting question would be, what if they are a little bit bigger, but they are merged because you use something like mayonnaise? So mayonnaise, like as opposed to vinegar or wine or the like, you know, which will only give the appearance of a mass when they're very small, a mayonnaise. So Rav Nissim Karelitz is also matir that. We don't say that just because they're held together because of the thickness of the mayonnaise that makes it lisha. If they remain distinct, they're still discrete and distinct and the like. In other words, basically, if it'd be mutter with vinegar, it's still going to be mutter with mayonnaise. Now, so let's say something like tuna fish, though. Tuna fish, so as we said, I think that is a problem. Because it does get small. So in theory, if you want to make tuna on Shabbos, you'd need to make a shinoi at both stages. But I think you don't have to make a shinoi at the first stage for the reason that we said before, which is that there's no indication at all when you just, that the tuna touches the mayonnaise. I think the Orchel Shabbos makes that hard as well. So if you want to make, you know, best thing is probably to make tuna before Shabbos, but if you didn't, or you can't, or the like, then I think you could make tuna by do Shasi Be'erev is probably going to be your best bet. Aaron will try to, you know, pour it between the bowls. Fish, uh-huh. So, but I don't think.
Why do you need to do an Nisinus of fish also?
What?
By Nisinus of like, what do you need to show?
Because there's no integration. Mayonnaise is solid. It's too solid. So, if you're doing it, if you're making mayonnaise, tuna fish with vinegar, right? There's no mixing. Now, the only reason why Rabbi says that there's a Shaila even by Nisina. Okay. So last time, some of the Chevra asked about Shabani yogurts, right? And we said, well, you have to be concerned with two issues. One is the mixing together of the whey that forms on top. We said that's less of an issue because that's its own water. But the bigger issue, the bigger concern is really with the jelly on the bottom. And you know, this is true for all yogurts, but especially it's more of a concern with the Chobani type yogurt, Greek yogurts, which are much thicker and probably a Blila Ava. But close. Sometimes it's hard to know, to draw the line, know exactly whether something is Rak or Ava. But it certainly, I think it might be a Blila Ava. And And so what about mixing in the jelly? Right? And again, here it's never been mixed before. It's not like there's never been an integration between the jelly on the bottom and the yogurt on top.
Awesome.
So certainly you could do a shinoi. In other words, I think it would for sure be much of a shinoi. You don't have to worry about chas nesina because Mr. Shabani already did that before Shabbos. So I don't think it'll work. So
Rabbi Leibowitz claims it does.
It does.
We asked. He was shocked that there's two layers. He's like, I always mix it before, so I always thought they're integrated. I'm like, wow, that's a stark mix.
Okay. But I think actually, now, but you can make the case that it's totally winter. And I saw that the Aruch HaShabbos makes this case. The Aruch HaShabbos says, first he quotes Machmir, and he says that Rosh Shlomo Zalman was Machmir on the Shaila, or would require a Shinoi at the very least. He thought, though, that the whole issue doesn't even start, because we're not talking about mixing together solids and liquids with solid together with a liquid to make a dough. Where basically the way he defined this is it's a mixing together of two isas, right? Okay, they have slightly different consistencies. You have the jelly isa, you have the yogurt isa, and now you're just mixing them together. So mechatesi, that's lisha.
Why is that isa blueberry
stuff? Well, it's jelly, right?
It's gibble. Yeah. It's
basically a...
You need liquid to violate mush? Like,
I need liquid in every case. So let's think about it.
Vash.
Every case, vash is a liquid. If I mix together flour and honey.
Vash is a Torah's mashkin.
No, it is.
What do you mean? It's one of the mashkin for
that,
a tumma. For a tumma, no?
That's exactly what I was saying. Is that really so different than jelly?
Well, the prima donna is machmir, though.
But anyway, no, but that's fine. What are we talking about again when we talk about vash? We're mixing together what with vash? A solid. So, what?
Yeah.
Right. But the question is here. Here you have you basically have, there's no solids, right? There's nothing, you're not starting with anything discrete. You're mixing together jelly with a type of yogurt, which is the same, you know, similar, maybe slightly different viscosity. But another two liquids or solids or doughs together. So, anyway, he doesn't have a raya lahatir. He doesn't have a raya lahachmir. He just, I guess, notes that it's not at all obvious that it should be mutter. And not only that, it should be aser. It's not all obvious what Rosh Hashanah says is aser. And he quotes that Rav Moshe himself is mekel on Nishayla. Rav Moshe, I didn't look it up yet. Dalad ayin dalad lash osches is mekel on Nishayla. I think you should use a shinoi. You should do a shinoi. But it is worth bearing in mind that it's not obvious at all that it's lisha. Now, this shaila relates to the fact, you know, an issue that we've had several times during this melacha, which is it's quite difficult to define this melacha, right? To what degree do we see this melacha as integration of solids, of creating dough and the like? Yes?
Do we view shaking something in general as a shinoi to take something like in its own?
Well, if the normal way to do it is a shinoi, then it's certainly not going to be a shinoi. If it's an abnormal way to do it, so then it might be very similar to pouring from one thing to another.
A person doesn't mix baby cereal by shaking it. I mean, you take a salad dressing in.
Baby food, you do.
What?
It's the same
thing. No,
interesting.
Yeah, but that's not oatmeal still. I saw an interesting discussion about making jello. Can you make jello on Shabbos? I was once asked this question. So the Aruch HaShabbos on page Resh Mem Tes quotes the Shevet HaLevi, who says, also for two reasons. Number one, nolad. Number two, lush.
How do you make jello?
So jello you basically make by taking powder, which has gelatin in it, and you pour it in hot water, or pour hot water onto it, and then you put it in the fridge for an hour, and then it comes out as jello. Now, so he says it's also for two reasons, Shevet HaLevi. Number one, nolad. So that we know is not so obvious. We discussed this at length when we talked about ice cubes. But he's assuming that there are possibly some Rishonim who say, like when you turn a solid into a liquid, like Risuk Shelag, or maybe also liquid into a solid, like ice, that's nolad. So even if you made it on Shabbos, you couldn't eat it. It's muksa. Nola Gamor. So, but that's a, you know, that's not pashut at the very least. Even if you're going to say that liquids into salads is also, it's nolad, it would just totally in that discussion. His second point, though, it's also because of lush. The Aruch HaShabbos points out that it's very strange that this would be lush. You're basically taking a liquid
dissolving,
and you're dissolving, and you're causing the liquid to turn into something that congeals, right? So that's not lush. It's not like you mix in the powder and you stir it and then it turns into jello. You're changing the character of the water to a liquid that is that congeals at a, you know, relatively high temperature. Anyway, so because what's making it thick isn't the jello powder. The powder itself, like when you mix in the warm water, the powder to the warm water, it's still a full-fledged liquid.
Like, according to Rebbe, why should that be?
Because that's different. That is not because. When you do Nesina Samayim, it's not that you've changed the character of the liquid into one that congeals. Instead, you've added solid into the liquid that makes it thick. Anyway, the Aruch HaShabbos himself says it should be aser because of Ovdin D'chol. That goes back to the old question of what's Ovdin D'chol, which for now we'll have to put off to the side. All right, we're out of time. I'll just say one last comment and then we'll talk about our plans going forward. The Mishnah Berurah talks about the Shaila of for anyone who's spent Shabbos going camping, can you be matil meraglayim onto dirt? So the Mishnah Berurah Shin Chaf Aleph Sifkat Nun Zayin, quoting the Magen Avraham, says it's aser because of lisha. If it's like afar tichawach, he says sand has the same problem, or the like. So. Right, choresh if it's hard ground, and if it's like detached dirt or the like, so then lisha. Now l'chayra, it's only going to be aser if you choshesh for Rabbi Yosef Yehuda.
For Rabbi,
right? I guess unless you're going to start trying to shtup and taisvus, I don't know. So bar, no, because we know it's bar lisha. It's offer is bar lisha, so it's only going to be if you're like Rabbi. So memela then, you know, if there's nowhere else to go, we already know there's makom to be mekel, especially here. It's, you know, it's a psik reishit lo nichalai. Okay. Yeah, there's more to say, but we're out of time. So we hope quite quick. Well, let's plan. 1 second. So I figure that a week of chazara, yeah, I'll give you more than a week. So I'll have the bechina next Thursday, and we'll start.